Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather today on this rainy, cloudy morning, but it is indeed a day that the Lord has made. Just want to make a couple of announcements. Just in reading your bulletin, you'll note that Vacation Bible School will be in July this year, so please mark those dates down on your calendar. We still have some time for that, but hopefully we'll have another wonderful year in which we are able to reach the young people in this community, and we'd like to have as many people to volunteer for that as we can get. So that's going to be on July the 16th through the 18th, so we have plenty of time to put that on your calendar and to plan for it. Also, our church picnic will be on June 29th. Please mark that date down on your calendar as well. It will be at Burholm Park, as it has been for the last couple of years. So again, another opportunity to fellowship. But please remember to read thoroughly your bulletin. Also go to the church webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening at Olney Presbyterian Church, particularly as we move in to the summer months.
For our first reading, it's Acts 10, verses 44 through 48, and it can be found in your pew Bible on page 958. Listen to God's word for us. While Peter was still saying this, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who came with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John's gospel. We'll be reading from the 15th chapter of John's gospel, verses 9 through 17, which is found on page 1067 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Our gospel passage this morning is a part of the Lord's farewell address. It's a part of the long section that Jesus shares and engages with his disciples after the Lord's Supper. It's a rather long passage, and it's always a little bit difficult because Jesus keeps spinning around the same points. He keeps talking about abiding and keeps talking about loving, and he keeps saying it over and over again. And so you want to say, all right, Jesus, all right already. We get it. but he keeps going over the same thing. And so this middle section of John's gospel is always a little bit difficult because you're wanting Jesus to say something new. And again, he keeps spinning around the same points. But I like what he says this morning in our section, because he reminds his disciples and he reminds all of us that we did not choose him, but that he chose us. He did all the choosing. We sometimes love to think of ourselves as masters of choice. We like to think that we are people who choose, and many of us will make a number of important choices in our lives. Many of us have made a number of important choices in our lives. We choose who to marry. We choose where to go to school. We choose what career path to take. We choose where to live. We make important choices all the time, or at least we seem to. I know there are some people, some philosophers, who believe that we don't have all that much freedom, that we don't really make that many choices. But at least there are some things that we do choose. But have you ever noticed that some of the most important things that determine our lives were never chosen by any of us? None of us chose the parents we have. None of us chose the family that we were born into. None of us chose where we were going to be born. We didn't choose our nationality. None of us chose what we look like, what the color of our skin would be. We didn't choose how tall we were going to be or how short we were going to be. We didn't choose any of those things. Those are things that were all chosen for us. But now along comes Jesus, and he says that we didn't choose him either. You didn't choose me, he says, but I chose you. I find that just a little bit disconcerting, because there are some choices that I've made that perhaps have not gone as well as I would have liked them to have gone. And I would like to think that at least there is one choice that I've made that was right. I would like to think that maybe I was wise enough and smart enough and far-seeing enough to have chosen Jesus. In fact, that's the decision that I sometimes wear as a badge of pride. At least I chose Jesus. I at least chose love over hatred. I chose compassion over greed. I chose inclusion over exclusion. I chose right over wrong. I chose life over death. Look, everyone, what I've done. Look what I've done with my freedom to choose. But Jesus this morning says, no, you are not smart enough or wise enough or good enough to choose any of that. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. Our Reformed tradition likes to stress the sovereignty of God, which is just a fancy way of saying that God is the one who does all the choosing and not us. Every initiative begins with God, and that certainly seems to be true in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament. God is the one who is constantly choosing. God chooses Abraham. God chooses Moses. God chooses a little shepherd boy named David. They didn't choose God. They weren't even looking for God, but God chose them. And the same is true in the New Testament. It's Jesus who's doing all the choosing. He chooses Peter. He chooses John. He chooses Mary Magdalene. Later, he chooses Paul. He chooses some of the craziest and most unlikeliest of people, an assortment of oddballs and misfits and sinners. But he chose them. And he is the one who has chosen all of us this morning as well. I know you're thinking that maybe the reason you are here this morning is because somewhere along the line you made a decision for Jesus. You made a decision for God, but in fact, it's the other way around. God made a decision for you. Jesus made a decision for you. We did not choose him, but he chose us. You know, we all have this desire deep down inside of us to be chosen. We all have a desire to be accepted, to be affirmed in some way. It feels good when we are chosen. It feels good when we are affirmed. I saw on Facebook the other day where one of our children who grew up here in Alney Church is about to graduate from high school, and she's been accepted to a whole lot of colleges and universities, many colleges and universities, and just really, really proud of her. It's a wonderful affirmation of all the hard work and all the potential that she's had, but she has been chosen by a number of schools. And we all have that desire to be affirmed and chosen in some way. But I also suspect that we all know the deep pain and disappointment of being one of those who are not chosen. Maybe you've never been chosen for anything. Maybe you've always been overlooked. Maybe you've always been sidestepped, turned down, rejected, cast to the side, belittled. And if that's the case this morning, Jesus wants you to know that you have been chosen. He has chosen you. He wants you to know how precious you are in the eyes of God. Whether anyone else recognizes how precious you are, whether anyone else recognizes your potential, whether anyone else chooses you for anything, God has chosen you. But what has Jesus chosen you for? What does it mean to be the Lord's chosen people? Well, one thing I think it means is that Jesus has chosen us to be his friends. We all know what a friend is, of course. A friend is someone that we trust. A friend is someone we confide in, someone that we share with and let into our lives. A friend is someone we feel comfortable with, someone that we engage in a relationship of equality with. When you're friends, you're not worried about who's more important. You're not worried about hierarchy. Friends are friends on an equal relationship basis. And that's what Jesus says. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I'm calling you friends. There's a little song we sang every month at the Protestant homes. I usually choose it to sing because it's the only song I feel comfortable singing. I know how to sing and feel comfortable singing loudly since I'm the one that has to lead the songs. But the song is, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I've always thought that hymn was a little bit cheesy, a little bit sentimental. I've always wanted to say, whenever I heard that song, that, you know, Jesus is not our friend. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the one through whom God created the whole world. Jesus is not our friend. Jesus is the Lord. But it's Jesus himself this morning who says, that I have called you, you friends. Friends are somebody that we abide with, that we stay connected to. You know, if you have a friend and they don't want to be around you, if they have a friend and they don't abide with you, they don't stay connected with you, if you have a friend that you never see them, then chances are pretty much they're not your friend. Because being a friend is about abiding, and that's what Jesus says over and over again, abide in me and I abide in you, abide in each other. Friends are people that we abide in. Friends are people that we receive joy from. We receive joy just from being around them. Sometimes when you have a friend, you don't even need to say anything. You just need to be there together, and you derive a certain degree of joy. There's nothing more joyous than being together with your friends. That's one of the ways that the early church grew. It was a community of friends, people coming together as friends. That's one of the things I too like about our little church. It's a church of friends. We are friends to each other. If we are friends to Jesus, we are our friends with each other. And when you are friends with each other, you like to come together because you derive joy from that friendship. That's the reason I'm sure that many of you are here this morning, not only to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to enjoy fellowship with each other, because friends bring each other joy. A friend is someone we become more and more alike. When you befriend somebody, you become more like them. That's why I'll remember the old adage, be careful who you choose as your friends, because they'll have a big influence on you. You'll become like them. But Jesus this morning says, you did not choose me, but I'm the one who chose you. I can understand why we might choose Jesus as one of our friends. I can understand why we would want a friend like Jesus. It's good to have friends in high places, in important places, in influential places. I heard someone the other day acknowledging that they had a friend in city government. And we do like friends in high places. And you don't get any higher than Jesus. You don't get a higher friend than Jesus. Jesus, who has gone to be at the right hand of God, Jesus, who is now in the very, very headquarters of where God is. He is at the right hand of God, where he's been given all power and authority and dominion. Jesus, who is our friend, has been given all power and authority. Good to have friends in high places, so I can understand why we might choose Jesus to be our friend. But what I can't understand is why Jesus would choose us. Why would Jesus choose any of us human beings to be his friend? Why would the Lord of all creation choose any human beings to be his friend? He's got to know our limitations. He's got to know the risk of being friends of us. He's got to know that there's a chance if he befriends us that we might betray him. He's got to know that we might desert him. He's got to know that we might deny him. He's got to know that we might let him down when he needs us most. Why would Jesus want to be any of our friends? I'm not sure exactly, but I suspect it has to do with that little word that Jesus has been going back to again and again and again. I suspect it has to do with love. That for some reason, he loves us. For some reason, he has put his faith in us. For some reason, he trusts us. But it all has to do with love. God loves us. And Jesus loves us. Jesus says no greater love than a man has than that he lays down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for each and every one of us. He laid down his life for all of us. He laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for the redemption of this world. Jesus, our friend, gave his life for all of us. And here's the kind of concerning part. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, so I love you. And we know how the Father loved Jesus. The Father loved Jesus in a way that sent him out into the world. The Father loved Jesus in a way that subjected him to our ridicule and our attempts to humiliate him. The Father loved Jesus in a way that he gave Jesus so that we might be redeemed. That's the kind of love that the Father had for Jesus. Because God loved the world, his love for Jesus was a love that sent Jesus out into the world as well. And Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I'm also loving you. In other words, I love you enough to send you out into the world as well. I'm sending each and every one of you out into the world so that you might choose to love the world. Choose to befriend the world. Choose to befriend the same kind of people that Jesus befriended. Choose to bear the same kind of fruit that I have borne in each and every one of your hearts. It's because Jesus is seeking a world that is filled with love that he has chosen us to be his friends. Sometimes I wonder if I'm worthy of Jesus's friendship. Sometimes I wonder if I'm really being a good friend of Jesus. One of my favorite movies back in the day was Saving Private Ryan. It was a war movie. I used to watch war movies, I confess, but it was Saving Private Ryan, and it was right at the end of that movie where one of the soldiers who had been on the team looking for this soldier, Private Ryan, and had engaged in many firefights and had had his own life spared because of the sacrifices of other people. And at the end of the movie, he's an old man and he's dying, but he wants his wife to confirm to him whether he's worth it. Have I been a good man? Have I been a person who was worthy of the sacrifices that were made on my behalf? Sometimes I wonder about that too. Have I been worthy of Jesus' friendship? Have I been worthy of Jesus being the kind of friend that would give his life for me and give his life for the whole world? I think Jesus is the one who will determine that, and he is the one who says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And he says that to all of us. You did not choose me. I chose you. I chose all of you because I believe in you. I have faith in you. I have faith that you are the kind of people that can change the world. I have faith that you are the kinds of people that will enlarge the realm of love and enlarge the realm of friendship, the friendship that God wants for each and every one of us. And so this morning I would ask that we live as Jesus's friends and that we love as he loved, and that we bear much fruit as we seek to be faithful friends and witnesses of the one who came to love us and to love the world.